Send an extra warm welcome to anyone who might be visiting or new this morning, also anyone who is watching online. Well, beginning with some announcements this morning, we've got a new Bible study series starting on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. The name of that series is called Jesus Wins, a biblical overview of end times prophecy. So if you're interested in joining that Bible study, please reach out to Pastor John. His contact information is on the back of your bulletin. We've also got the Shady Oak Bible Study happening on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And if you'd like to join us for that one, reach out to Pastor Giovanni. We've got a deacon board meeting on Thursday night at 7 p.m. So if you're on the deacon board, make note of that. Inspiration Point will be coming here to Stavanger on October 10th, and they will be leading the Youth Sunday School as well as the worship service. So just know that Inspiration Point will be here on October 10th. We've got a couple bulletin inserts I'd like to draw your attention to. There's a harvest party that will be on Saturday, October 16th. There'll be a costume parade, leaf pile, chili, supper, food walk, fish pond, treat bags, and more. So if you'd like more information on that, you can contact Faye Baylor or Kathy Thompson. And also, I'd like to draw your attention to the yellow insert on Halloween. That's just got some good information about the history of Halloween and our position on it. So I'd invite you to take a look at that. Are there any other announcements that I've missed? Oh, coffee. Yeah. Yeah. There'll be coffee served after the service. Right? Yep. There'll be coffee served after the service. So, yeah, stick around for that. Wasn't that great last week? That was my first time since I've been here that we've done that. And, yeah, that doesn't feel like a church until you've shared with fellowship and coffee afterwards. So, any other announcements? All right, then let's begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship from Psalm 104, verses 27 through 35. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth, and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Let us continue with a moment of silence as we prepare for worship this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are good. We thank you for the love and the patience that you have for us. We ask that your love would be visible in us as we care for and support one another and all those in need. We thank you for giving up your Son to be our Savior, and that with him you have also given us all good things. Make us to trust in you, that you would give us what we need at the proper time. We pray for those who are suffering, for those who have suffered loss, those who are alone, those who are unable to be with us today. For many of us, life today looks much more normal than it did a year ago, but for many others, it does not. We ask that you would comfort and encourage those who are still isolated because of COVID, that you would keep depression, anxiety, and loneliness from them. We thank you for the gift of your church, that you have provided a place for us to hear your word, confess our sins, receive absolution, and sing praises to you. We pray that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as you are able as we continue to worship God in song.
Thank you. of our sin. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin or up on the screen, reading along out loud under the heading Congregation.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us, and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives all our sin. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God, and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, unto us all. Amen. Let us also confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, and I'd invite you to stand as you are so able as we do this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Now we're going to turn to the Lord in prayer again, but before we do, let me ask, are there any prayer requests that should be made at this time? All right, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for meeting us here today. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We ask that you would bring healing and comfort, patience and assurance to all in need. We ask that you would keep our attention from being drawn from you and the love that we have in your Son, through whom we receive grace and forgiveness of sins. We pray this morning for Bill and Donna Nick. Bill is struggling with Alzheimer's, and we pray that you would give him healing and strength, and that you would also comfort his wife who is taking care of him. I pray that you would be with them and that they would feel your presence through this struggle. We also think of Seth and Patience, who are sharing their last Sunday with us this week. We pray that you would bless their move and that you would go before them and prepare their way. We pray that you would grow and strengthen your church in unity and in love, that we might serve you and our neighbor as one body. We ask that you would open our ears to receive your word this morning. May you bless Pastor John as he delivers your word to us. Now let us pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I invite up the kids for the kids' message. All right. Good to see you. Well, I got some stuff here. Lord. Get my hands sanitized here, and you'll see why in a minute. All right. And what do we got in the ice cream bucket? Well, let's see. Got a little plastic container. Need that for later. Got a knife along with the cutting board. Those kind of go together, don't they? And some toothpicks. And some napkins there. And a little fork. Looks like we're getting ready for lunch, huh? Kind of. And a container with a tomato from my garden. Yeah. Nice little tomato, but do you see? Is there a little problem with it? Well, what's wrong there?
It has a bad spot.
It has a bad spot. I don't know if you can see from back there, but there's a bad spot on the tomato. Have you ever smelled a tomato that's gotten rotten before?
Yeah.
No, you haven't. If you did, you would remember. It doesn't smell very good at all.
No.
Tomatoes go from being really tasty to really yucky in a very short time. They can get rotten, and when they get rotten, they get really rotten. They really stink. And what happens is a little spot like this, if you let it go, it'll just start getting bigger and bigger, and pretty soon the whole tomato will be rotten. So, if I want to eat this tomato, what do you think I should do? Cut off the bad spot. Great idea. I think I'll do just that. Okay, so I'm going to cut just a little past the bad spot. And there's actually a couple of bad spots, so I'll cut both of those off. Lose just a little bit of the good stuff. Ah, now there. Now that's looking like some nice eating tomato. Would you guys like to try some? No? Anyone want to try any? No? Okay, well, I'm going to try some. And that's what the toothpicks are here for. So, would anyone in the congregation like to try some? Okay, all right. See? Cool. Yeah. You want what? You'll take some too? Okay, here you go. Here you go. And, whoops, here's a napkin if you need it. All right, anyone else? We got plenty. Oops, thank you. Okay.
That's amazing.
Is that good? Yeah?
Really good. Oh, wow. I'm thirsty. I'm part of this. It's really good.
Yeah, here you go. All right. See, we got an endorsement here, a non-paid endorsement.
Yes.
Anyone else want to try?
I will.
You will? Oh, see now. Uh-huh. The good sales lady here. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Anyone else? Last call. I see they're looking at each other. They're bashful. Yeah? No? All right. Okay. Well, maybe after church, for those who are a little shy, downstairs, you can have that available. Well, oh, I better try too, just to see. You know. Not that I don't believe joy, but I some things you just better experience, you know. That's pretty good. Well, okay. And you put your garbage in that little thing there. Yeah. Well, that wasn't bad at all. I don't think, though, we want to eat that bad spot that I cut off. Oh, you can't smell it quite yet, but in a couple of days that would be really, really bad. So it was good that we saved the good part of the tomato by cutting off the bad spot. Thank you. And in our Bible passage today, Jesus is going to talk about cutting off something to save something else, to save what we want to save, and to have the good stuff remaining. You're a good little helper, Sippy. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your word, your truth, that we might know the difference between what is good and bad, and that you are good, and that you want to save us. So help us to listen, Lord, and to understand, and most of all to trust and believe your word, for it is your word. We ask this in Jesus' name, and I pray your blessing on these kids. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up and helping. Our sermon passage this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, and I invite you to rise as you're able for the reading of God's word. Oops, I don't need it. It's okay. Thank you. Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50, I read in Jesus' name. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," said Jesus. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to Christ, will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, this is your word, and we pray that you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and most of all, hearts to believe and receive it, and receive you afresh, anew today. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated. It was April 26, 2003, that a young man by the name of Aaron Ralston took off into the wilderness of Utah, in an area where there's narrow canyons. It's a place he liked to go off on his own. And like many other times before, he just took off, not telling anyone where he went. This outing, however, didn't turn out like previous ones. At one point, he slipped and broke a boulder loose. He fell down into a narrow slot canyon, and the boulder followed him. He fell down and was mostly unharmed, but the boulder following him pinned his hand against the side of the canyon wall. Some of you maybe are familiar with the story. It was made into a movie. For 5 days, He was pinned in that canyon, unable to free himself, faced with his own mortality. He was caught in a death trap. In the passage today, Jesus talks about death traps. Sin, which leads to death, which leads to hell. We don't like to hear about hell. It's not pleasant. But it's something Jesus talks about more than once. I'd rather not talk about it. And yet, Jesus mentions it several times in this passage. Jesus is quite concerned that people don't go there. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. The word in the original language here, the name for hell, it refers to a valley outside of the city of Jerusalem, the Hinnom Valley. And it was a place in the Old Testament when the people of Israel had strayed from worshiping the Lord their God. They worshiped false gods at times, and the worship of some of these false gods included such horrific things as child sacrifice that occurred in this valley. The place was condemned. It was later, with King Josiah, it was a condemned place, and it was a place that they took the innards of animals that were sacrificed and used it as a disposal. It was kind of a garbage dump. Some people say there were fires kind of smoldering there on an ongoing basis. And that was the mental image of something far worse. Just as heaven is something that is far greater, far better, more beautiful, more wonderful than we can even imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered in the thoughts of man what God has prepared for those who love him. On the opposite, it is true as well. Hell is unimaginably horrific. People talk about hell on earth as some horrific experience that they have gone through, and people can go through very, very horrific things. And yet, the difference is, on earth, it comes to an end. However horrific it is, there's an end to it. When you die, whatever you're experiencing on earth stops. There's a release and hope for something better. In the case of hell, there's no end and there's no hope. Eternal separation from God. And is quoted from Isaiah 66 here, where the description where the worm does not die, it's talking about maggots. And the fire is not quenched. From inside, the worms that the maggots that eat decaying flesh, and the outside fire that's not quenched, it goes on. And so the language Jesus uses here is severe language, because the stakes are high. He cares for little ones, and it's not just young in age, certainly those, but also anyone who is a new believer, a tender believer. It would be better for someone to take a large stone, a tractor tire wheel-sized millstone, have it around their neck and be thrown into a lake, than to cause one of these little believers to sin, to stumble. The word to sin here, it's the word where we get our English word scandal, and it can mean to stumble, but it also, in this context, most likely means it's a snare, it's a trap, it's a death trap from which there is no escape. You don't want to put someone or lead someone or have anything to do with someone entering into that death trap. And he goes further. He said it's not just to be concerned about others that you might cause to sin, to stumble, to fall into the death snare, but yourself. He said if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. An amputation is not something a person enters into lightly. We perhaps know of people, I have, who've had to have a hand or a foot amputated because of disease. Either an infection or circulation or something that will turn to be fatal if that part of the body is not removed. I have a friend who had cancer in one of her eyes. The eye had to be removed. Not pleasant things to think about. But it's better, far better than the alternative. This passage is disturbing on a number of levels. It mentions demons. It mentions physical bodily mutilation. It mentions hell. It reminds me of what people have turned Halloween into. And how entertainment and popular culture has turned us frightening people with grotesque and hellish images into entertainment, into fun. But Jesus said this is no joking matter. He says it's better to be cut off, to have a portion cut off, than to enter hell. The young man, Aaron, who is trapped in the canyon, at day 5, and leading up to it actually, but by the 5th day he realized there was no alternative. The hand that was pinned to the wall of this narrow canyon by the boulder, which was immovable, was beginning to decay. The blood had been cut off. He realized that even if he were rescued, he would likely lose the hand. And so he cut it off and walked to freedom. And lived. It was not an easy thing to do. He perhaps realized Jesus here is not advocating that we physically mutilate ourselves, but he's getting our attention. It's no less painful to think about what in our life that's precious to us, precious like a hand or a foot or an eye, is getting in between us and God. I wish, this is one of those things that just applied to other people and not me. I've had cause to reflect. As I've looked at this text, it's as if my hand has been pinned to a wall these days. Aaron had a lot of time to think about his life when he was pinned to the wall by that boulder in that canyon. A lot of time. A there are things in my life. Things that aren't necessarily bad in themselves. But like any human, I can make something good into something bad when I put it ahead of God, when I look to it for good instead of looking to God for my ultimate good and need. Maybe there's something in your life that's leading you away, that's tempting you astray. What's the answer, though? If we were to take this literally, and okay, the hand, I did something sinful with the hand, cut that off. All right, I went somewhere I shouldn't have gone, cut the foot off. Is that going to stop my other hand from sinning? Is that going to stop my other foot? Is that going to stop my eyes? I'm told that the early centuries of the church, there were monks who would go out into the wilderness, who would sit up on top of a pole and go out in a cave. They'd try to remove themselves from all the temptations of the world, only to find out you can't remove yourself from what's in here and what's in here. The sin followed him out into the desert. It appears that it's an impossible situation. You see, the hands only do what the mind tells them to, and the mind only tells what the heart wants to do. Jesus says in Matthew 15, when talking about a question of not following the traditions of certain ceremonial washings and making people unclean by what they put in their mouth, Jesus said, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that's what makes him unclean. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. These make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Slander. It's so easy to slander. It's so easy. Evil thoughts. You don't even have to use your hands, eyes, or feet to sin. These are what make a man unclean. Aaron was able to free himself by cutting off his trapped hand. But our problem, the problem Jesus is talking about here, is far more serious, and we are far less unable to cut it out. Because we'd have to keep cutting until we cut our heart out. We'd have to die. See, that's where the good news comes in, because God knew this. God knew it would take death, our death. And St. Paul writes in Romans that when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. We were crucified with Christ that we might be raised. You see, Isaiah, prophesying about Jesus, says this about Jesus in Isaiah 53. The one who tells us that we must cut off what causes us to sin himself was cut off. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off. He was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. That's how much Jesus cares about me. That's how much he cares about you. He was cut off so that you might be grafted in and be counted as God's child in his family forever. That you don't have to fear hell. because he faced it. He endured it for you. And he has given you a new heart. He's taken your heart of stone, the heart of death, and given you a heart of flesh. You are a new creation in Christ, one who is no longer trapped. You have been set free. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And for taking on every accusation, every thing that was against us, and giving us your righteousness in exchange. Help us, Jesus, to trust you, walk with you. And Lord, when we do sin, remind us that we have died to sin and are made alive in you again each day, walking in the covenant you made with us in baptism. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor John. Now, before we sing our closing chorus, I just want to remind you one more time that there'll be coffee and some fellowship after the service, so please join us for that. Now let us sing our closing chorus. His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.